You're listening to This Is How We See It with your host, Eric Lee. The show where we say it like we see it.
Thanks for tuning in to the show. Welcome to it. My name is Eric Lee, and in the studio with me, I've got Tanae and Miss C.
Hello.
Okay, he said my name. Miss C,
You're slow on the uptake. Okay. I said Tanae and Miss C three minutes ago.
So when you said
you haven't said anything.
I'm supposed to go, hey.
Exactly. Yeah. You should say hello.
That's what I did. Do it again.
I've got Tanae and Miss...
like that.
Anyway, let's just start the show. We're going to start the show off on a very sad note. Joni Sledge, founding member of the all-girl group Sister Sledge, passed away last Friday. In a statement released by the group's reps, Sledge was found unresponsive at her home in Phoenix, Arizona, on March 10th, and was later pronounced dead. She was 60 years young.
No.
I mean, that's pretty young. I mean, 60 is like the new 50 now. So, you know, Sister Sledge started in 1971. That was the year I was born. 1971. What a great year that was for the world, really. Not just for America, but for the entire world.
Yeah, to be honest with you. Around that time, that's when I think we just started getting electricity.
Anyway, their biggest hit was We Are Family. Remember,
we are family.
Mm-hmm. Now, my favorite Sister Sledge song is He's the Greatest Dancer.
He's the greatest dancer.
Yes, that's correct.
I wonder why.
What do you know about that, Tina? You don't know anything about He's the Greatest Dancer.
Well,
your mother wasn't even born in 1971.
Miss C used to have a lot of parties.
You remember?
Well, I remember because I am an old head and I know about old school R&B music.
Her mother has a seven in front of her year too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know,
Just the number seven.
A lot of parties. I remember sitting in the back room.
Now, she never played Greatest Dancer though. I've never heard The Greatest Dancer on any of the playlists.
Okay, where did you hear it from?
Well, just me, you know, going after old school
music. I would hear it in the morning.
Music.
I would hear this. I don't know what that is every morning. But I knew it was time to get up when I heard that.
You know what? I used to do that when I lived in D.C. It's a sinus thing. I used to do that.
It's a mind thing.
But now that I'm on Flonase, my doctor gave me some Flonase. I don't do that much anymore in the mornings, but I used to do it all the time. So our hearts and our prayers are with the Sledge family. And at the end of the show, I'm going to close the show with a tribute to Sister Sledge.
Will you be singing?
I will not be singing.
Thank God.
For those who are interested, the Ku Klux Klan has announced that they will hold a cross-burning rally.
Hush.
They will hold a cross-burning rally in Asheboro, North Carolina, sometime in May of this year. The event is scheduled by the Loyal White Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, based in Pelham, North Carolina, which I think is where's Pelham, North Carolina?
Never heard of it. Never heard of it.
I'm not sure.
You remember when they used to be in the parade?
No, I don't remember that.
Yes, in the front of it. With their white...
The Ku Klux Klan used to be in what parade?
A long time ago.
I'm not that old. Really?
Yes.
And what was...
Downtown.
And what were they doing?
They was just marching, had little flags and little things. KKK was on it.
Here in Raleigh, North Carolina? Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
So it had to be in the 60s?
Had to have been in the 60s. Yeah. Wow. It's interesting because we've really seen a surge from them since Trump won the election. You know, Trump's rhetoric about, you know, border walls and throwing out illegal aliens and now keeping out Muslims. We have really seen a really big surge from them lately. Now, you know, I will say this, though. You know, you really can't blame Trump for, like, all the racial tension. I mean, it's not like soon as he became president, we had racial tension.
Right.
We've always had racial tension. But I do believe that because of you know, the campaign that he ran, he contributed to it.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he really did. I mean, and I think that they are emboldening, you know, the neo-Nazis, they came out, you know, like, I think I don't know if I played it on the show, but, you know, they were saying, you know, Heil Hitler, and they were someplace in D.C., they held a rally. Mm. I mean, just, you know, because, you know, people have their own minds, and people should be able, you know, to think for themselves, you know, like your parents used to tell you, well, if somebody jump off the cliff, are you going to jump off the cliff?
Depends on who it is.
I don't care who it is. You jump off the cliff, you're going by yourself. I'm not following jumping off the cliff.
I can't live without you.
Yeah, okay. I will find a way to live without you.
You got pictures.
Okay, the police chief of Middlesex, North Carolina, has been arrested for allegedly assaulting his girlfriend. The police chief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The top cop down there in Middlesex has been arrested. I mean, you know. Now, apparently this is not his first arrest.
Mm-hmm.
But this is his second arrest in 13 months. So he's you know, a career criminal, really. I mean, well, not career criminal.
Well, at least he rested for a year.
Okay. In February of last year, he was charged with misdemeanor cyber stalking. Now, I don't know if it was his girlfriend that he was cyber stalking. Probably so. And was still allowed to be chief.
How do you cyber stalk someone?
Like on social media.
You just follow their Facebook mm-hmm.
and
their Twitter.
And send out text, you know, posts and things like that, you know, when they've probably asked you to stop. You keep doing it. So that's what. And apparently it's a crime here in North Carolina.
I've been cyber stalked a couple times.
Then. Well, then you should report it. If you've been cyber stalked, you should report it. I'm still trying to get over the fact that this is the police chief.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how does it feel to have your like employees?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
hey, I can picture, hey Jim, come on now, you gotta get in the car. You gotta get in the car,
right? Like,
well,
right.
At least go get mine.
Right, right.
You know, like
your own staff have to arrest you.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, Middlesex is very small. So
yeah. Oh yeah, it's small.
You can walk through and sneeze.
But he's still the police chief of Middlesex.
Yeah. I can imagine them taking him to the jailhouse. Well, in the back of the car, did you want to stop getting some
right? Like they did Dylann Roof when he shot the people members at the church, took him to Burger King.
You know, I had a friend, well, I still have a friend, just haven't seen him in years, that sued the police department of Middlesex.
Oh,
and,
really?
And won, yeah.
Oh, wow. What did he sue for?
All 10 officers.
Well, you know, they're very prejudiced.
Nine.
In Middlesex.
Nine officers, not 10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very prejudiced. And they sued him for that, and they were, I don't know if the word stalking was out then.
Harassing? Like,
yeah, they were harassing him.
Oh, yeah. And, so the police, the whole police force were harassing
they
him.
They were a handful of people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he
well,
sued.
You gotta be careful.
He sued them and won.
Mm. Mm-hmm. What did he win? Did he win some money? Did he win any coin?
He said she ain't seen him in a while.
Well, they end up doing some things against him years later that he end up in jail.
Oh, so not only did he sue the police, but he was still getting in trouble.
Well,
basically.
Yeah, but we know that it was a set up thing.
Oh,
we
okay.
know that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so was he in jail now? Is he still
no.
in prison?
No.
Okay.
I'm telling you, if I sue the police department, I'm going to have to move.
Well, see, that's
you,
what every
really,
that's what
yeah.
everybody was saying. But like I said, Middlesex is a small town.
He could have moved to the next street.
He could have moved here to Raleigh.
Yeah. I mean, I remember one time I got stranded in Middlesex.
Mm.
Yeah.
On that one, don't they have like one road?
Yeah, it was one that had
and
a
like
gas
one
station.
Road.
And like
Let's
one road
one
that
light.
Goes through
don't
the
say,
town.
Oh.
Well, I was stranded there at a gas station.
Why were you stranded there?
Well, I was following behind a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, hey, it's out there now. Basically, she just wanted to go hang out with her guy friend, and I was just being a friend and come along. And then I was like, you know, where are we going? Went on the highway. I said, we're going back to Greenville. I said, what? I said, uh-uh, you got to take me back to my grandma's house. We don't do that in Wendell. Well, we don't do that. you know, wind down. I said, we don't do that there. Next thing I know, the little tire goes flat, and then we end up in a little place that says Middlesex. That's how I said. I said, Middlesex? What was the Middlesex?
Yeah.
It was horrible. It was, like, deserted.
Did That's you know that? Granddad did, I about to from. Say, did you know that your grandfather is from Middlesex? You didn't know that?
You didn't know Papa was from Middlesex?
Yeah, he's from Middlesex. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That explains some things.
Yeah, I've never been there, so, you know, or through there, or, you know, or skipped through Middlesex.
Like, it looks just like Zeppelin.
Well, Zeppelin is kind of bigger now. Zeppelin's kind of, they're sprucing Zeppelin up.
And they're a little bit side by side.
Middlesex looked like those movies where you just look down one street.
And the tumbleweed is going up, yeah.
That's what it was like. And I saw no cars, no lights. Ooh. Nothing. I mean, I was scared. I had to call my uncle to come get me. And I couldn't even tell. I said, look, I'm in the gas station. Which one? The only one.
Right, probably only one there.
I said, just drive through here. You're going to see me. Oh, I'm the only person out here. Mm. It was very scary. Yeah.
She left you?
Who, my friend?
Yeah.
No, I left. I almost left her. I said, you're not going to do that. So, yeah, my uncle, you know, picked us both up. And the guys were thinking, like, oh, you know, we need help. My uncle said, well, okay, I'll be back to help you, man. We look back. I felt bad, but won't nobody gonna harm them. It's Middlesex. Won't nobody there to harm them.
But they kill people. Well, then they weren't gonna harm you then if wasn't nobody there. So why were you so afraid?
Because I ate my last slice of pizza and I was hungry.
That's what it was. Right. Now we get to the matter.
Didn't I say it wasn't nothing open?
Rachel Maddow, who is a political talk show host over at MSNBC, she's like the, what's his name? Anderson Cooper. Of NBC, she got a hold of a couple of pages of Trump's 2005 tax return.
2005.
Because you know this big thing, you know, is about, you know, he didn't turn over his tax returns. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what the tax return showed. I think it kind of backfired a little bit on her because it showed that he made over $150 million in 2005 and that he paid around $38 million in taxes. So all of this, now this is 2005, so we don't know like from 2006 till now or before 2005, right. But we know that in 2005, he paid $38 million in taxes. Now, you know, the controversy is that he refuses to release his tax returns, okay? But here's the thing, they are not required to. Now, presidents do it. To show transparency, you know, they just want to show, you know, but they are not they are not legally obligated to show their tax returns.
Okay, but 2005, he wasn't president.
But I'm just saying, he's not obligated to do it. I don't understand, like, why this is a big deal. Now, y'all know I'm not a Trump fan, you know, because I have an issue with the way he's governing this country. But if he is not required to show, why is it such a big deal about it?
And this is one. So this is where someone should say, Obama wasn't required to show his,
but he did.
His
and everybody before Obama has showed theirs too.
Okay, but you're saying that the president does not have to show
it.
They were asking for his taxes before he was president.
Well, you can't. Well, that's ridiculous for somebody to show their taxes. Well, yeah, because when you're running, that's when you show them.
Okay, but he wouldn't do it. And
he's
that's
not
when they
obligated
was,
to do it.
He wasn't president.
He's
then.
Not obligated. Listen to me. To run for president or anything, you are not obligated to show your taxes. That's what I'm trying to say. And I think that this, you know, people making this big deal about his taxes is wrong because he's not obligated to show them to you. So he decided I'm not. So we need to move on.
Okay, right. We do. But let me say this. If he was not, and he is not obligated to show taxes, right?
That's correct.
And he's made such a big deal of it, not showing it, right?
Yep.
Okay. Why did he make such a big deal about Obama's birth certificate?
Well, I can't answer that. What I'm trying to say is that he is not obligated to show his taxes. None of them are. They do it. just to show transparency, but they're not obligated to do it. There's a guy whose name is David Brock, and he is now offering $5 million to anyone who can give him all of Trump's tax returns.
Okay, hold on, write this down.
Where he get that money from?
He's a multi-millionaire. And he is offering this. To me, this particular thing, I think you're beating a dead horse. Because again, if he's not required to do it, he's decided not to, move on.
Okay, now, if someone does give him Trump's taxes, is it against the law for him
I think it is.
Well, what do you want him for?
Well, I don't know. You know, these three pages that Rachel Maddow got, this reporter of unknown reporter said that they received. You know what? We actually have to take a break. We'll be right back in just a moment. Stay right with us. You're listening to This Is How We See It.
This you can bear. You stood right beside me. Yeah. And I won't forget.
We are back. Thanks for coming back with us. Before we went to break, we were talking about Trump's tax returns. And again, what I was saying is he is not required. No one running for president right now is required to show their taxes. And I just feel that if he's not required to do it, and if he has decided that he's not going to do it, then people need to move on about it.
Well, go live with him then, Eric.
I'm not going to go live with him because, you know, I've got other issues with him too. But on this one, I think it's like a witch hunt on this. You know, it's like, you know, I'm not required to do it. Oh, but, you know, why don't you? Well, I mean, it's his decision.
Yeah, it's kind of like leaving a tip. You know, you're not required to.
That is correct. You're not required to leave a tip, but you should, right? I mean, you know.
Oh, really?
Absolutely, you should, especially if you got good service. Everybody should leave a tip. That's just how I, you know, feel about it. Now, here's the thing. There is talk in Congress now about making it a requirement for anyone running for president to show their taxes. So
what is that going to do?
Well, like I said, it shows transparency. It shows, you know, I don't have anything, you know, going on, you know, taking bribes, kind of shows transparency. The Chicago Tribune newspaper has reported that since Donald Trump was elected, the U.S. applications for New Zealand citizenship has jumped up 70%. So Americans are trying to leave this country and they're trying to move to New Zealand like never before. New Zealand is very pretty, by the way. New Zealand is where they filmed, The Hobbit. What is that thing called? The Lord of the Rings. They filmed all the Lord of the Rings in New Zealand.
Never seen it.
Oh, well, yeah, it's a beautiful place. So Ask Amy is a column here in our local newspaper, News and Observer. It's almost like a Dear Abby.
Is that her sister?
I don't know. Amy, Abby, maybe they twins. I don't know.
Seriously.
I don't know.
When one of them died, the other sister took over.
Well, Dear Abby is a national columnist. Amy is just here in.
But she did have a sister to take over her.
I don't know. Okay. So this new mom wrote in asking. Yeah.
I'm going to start a tale to name.
Oh, Lord. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? That. Thing tail to nay.
Okay, really? Tail to nay. Didn't say ass.
Right.
It said tail. I can tell a few things.
Yeah. Okay.
That's good.
And today I'm gonna tell you some things back.
So this new mom wrote in asking for advice. So she, her husband, and her newborn child are going to Florida to visit her husband's family. Mm-hmm. Okay. They have an outing plan with his brothers and sisters and their spouses. So when they go down, you know, they're going to get with, you know, and go out. You know, the siblings and the spouses are going to go out. Okay. Here's her problem. The husband's parents are much older. You know, they're not like, you know, in their 50s or something, but she doesn't say how old they are, but I it's assumed that they're kind of, you know, older, much elderly. Older people. And they always want to babysit her newborn child, which, of course, is their grandchild, okay? Mm-hmm. But here, she's nervous about this because, now, the kids are, well, it's not newborn, sorry. Mm-hmm. The kids are 3 and 5. And, you know, at that age, they are extremely active. I mean, for a 3 and a 5-year-old, you got to have some spunk about you to run in behind.
Some get up and go.
Exactly. A 3 and a 5-year-old. And she doesn't think that her in-laws have the stamina to keep up with them. The in-laws take a lot of pills, she said. She said they take a lot of pills. And she said that they have found some of their pills on the floor, just laying around. So she is scared because the grandparents, you know, she doesn't think that they can fully run after the children and that, you know, the kids might put one of the pills in their mouth. So what does she do about this? I mean, you know, you don't want beef with the in-laws and have them think that, you know, you don't want them to watch their grandchildren. So, like, what should she do about this? Like, what would you do, Tanae?
You know, if it was me, and I've been in something similar, but it's not with the old age, just the old mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right.
You know, my would have been in-laws had bad minds. Tore all to pieces.
Okay, and so they were young, but their minds were, you know,
a little rattled.
They were off kilter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I had to have that conversation with them, and the conversation just went, H, no, no. You do A, B, C, and D.
And E, F, and G. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I got to do H, W, I, and I can do all these.
But that's hilarious.
But no, seriously, I really had to have a talk, and I expressed how I felt uncomfortable with the idea, mm-hmm. and I created an alternate option.
Okay.
You can watch the child
mm-hmm.
while I'm nearby.
Oh. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So therefore, I can observe.
Okay, that's not babysitting.
Yes, it is.
We're talking about babysitting.
Yeah, that
meaning parents are gone.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to be gone, but still be there.
But this was your solution, though. Your solution was, uh-huh.
Because I wanted to let them get a feel of my child,
mm-hmm.
because my child wasn't too fond of them, and I didn't feel comfortable. As a mother, I did not feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't matter if, well, that's my, okay, blood, that's great, but as far as.
Well, it wasn't your blood.
They were not my family, right. But they were saying that my son was their family.
So that's what they were saying. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I said, okay. I said, no. I don't know if I may have said this the wrong way where you thought you had an option. It was like a choice.
Yeah, wasn't a question. Yeah, it was a statement.
These are the conditions. I'm going to be here, you know. We're going to come over more together,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to see how he interacts with you. And then gradually, he makes it for an hour or two.
Uh-huh. Without you being there.
Yeah, without mm-hmm. me being there. Mm-hmm. And then we'll work our way up to that point.
Uh-huh. That's pretty good advice.
They declined. Oh. And you know
Wait a minute. Hold up. They declined that?
Yeah, they told me no. They should be able to see him whenever, however, without me being present. And so I kindly looked down just to make sure it was my cootie cat. They say I had to make sure.
Jocelyn.
Yeah, I had to make sure that I was like, I believe this is my child. And I was just like, I said, you know, I just smiled. And I said, okay. I said, so, you know, email or text message. And it was like, for what? The pictures that you're going to receive. Do you want to receive them through email or text message? Because you're not going to tell me how.
Meaning he's not going to be there in person,
mm-hmm.
but they will see him through email or text.
Yes. Yeah, so would you like to receive an email or a text message?
Mm.
Because I'm giving you an option here.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like I said, I don't know if I worded it incorrectly where they mm-hmm. thought they had a choice.
Right, right.
But I had to really explain to them, no, I don't feel comfortable. My child, you know, I as a parent, you worry about certain things.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no one can treat your child like you do. No one knows when your child is hungry or when something's bothering. Cause, you know, you have to be around a child to know that. And they weren't as active and present with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and even when I be there, he kind of cling more towards me.
Oh, sure
he
does, yeah.
And And it was always, well, he did it because you're here. I said, so man, if I won't hear, he'd be clinging to the plant. Right, and anything that looked like his mama, he'd be clinging to it. So let's just work our way up to it.
Are you saying you look like a plant?
I'm just saying anything that could slightly resemble me.
Well, your hair kind of looks like a bird's nest. Just saying, I'm, you know. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry, I digress. Go ahead. Finish your statement.
Anywho, so that's what I would do. I would, you know, have them to watch the child, have times with the child when I'm somewhere, you know, maybe somewhere in a different place in the house.
Yeah.
Kind of just observing and seeing just how, because many grandparents, honestly, they may not know what they're getting themselves into.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
There's many times my grandmother has came in and gotten my son, and then I'm like, he's staying the whole weekend. He come at the next morning.
Was he driving and she was back in the back? Wow.
You know, sometimes they just don't know what they're getting themselves into.
That's true, but that's pretty good. That's a good thing. What about you, Missy? What would you have done in that case?
I think I would put everything on the children. I would.
What?
I would put everything on the children.
Say they don't want to stay with y'all.
I would say, well, not that they wouldn't want to stay because they're 3 and 5 years old. They'll stay with anybody that would let them do whatever, you know, they want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I would probably just say, well, you know, they do this, you know, and do that and whatever stuff. And I would hate to see them use that against you all. Like, you know, this person is good into getting into, you know, something like this or whatever, and they really need to be watched. Mm-hmm. And I would just put it on the children. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason why I don't feel comfortable about leaving them with you all is because of these my kids, not because of your
I just
skills.
Think they're going to wear you out.
Yeah.
I just think that they're just going to be too much for you.
Yeah, they're the age that,
and
you know,
they're gonna respond and say, oh, no.
And I said, oh, yeah. And then again, leave those children somewhere else. You don't have to take those children to the, when you know that your husband and his siblings are going out. You're going out with them. Leave those kids somewhere else. You don't
like
have
where?
To take them.
But see, they're out of state.
Right,
though.
They're out of town.
That's
they're
right. Leave them with the town that you at. You got some friends and relatives.
But then
she doesn't have any. That's the daddy's.
Them.
Where he lives.
Oh, she the only child, and her mom and dad are dead too.
They don't live in this town where they went to see his parents and his family.
But they in the town. They live in the town where they came from.
We
right?
don't know that. But.
Well, I where the daddy came from.
But
I guess.
You know what? I want to add one thing that I think I should have done that would have been better. Sat down with my partner at the time and had that talk.
Yes. Now that's what I was about to say.
Together. Because it may have looked like it's all me.
Exactly.
You know, top dog running things. Even though that is how it is.
Yeah but it's his parents. So he's not going to see what you're concerned about.
He may have.
But if he's sitting on my side with it, they may be a little bit more to lean in with. Like, okay we kind of. And then maybe they're more open to communication. Whereas they would say, well, how about. You know, we start up with just an hour, or, you know, you get something to eat. Because they used to always try to get me out of the house, basically. They would always say, oh, don't you want to get something to eat? Or are you guys, you know, you guys can go have a little, you know, cup of time. No, thank you. It's not that interesting.
Well, here's what Ask Amy said to her. She said, let your husband go on the planned outings with his siblings, and you stay with the children and the grandparents.
No, Amy, didn't you just hear what I said that I want to go too?
Well, but that's what Amy said, that maybe that would be one thing that she should, you know, consider is, you know, say, well, you know what, you go spend time with your family, but I'm going to stay here. I think that she should be open and honest with him and let him know, look, this is how I feel about this. It's not that I don't like your family, you know, but I just feel that, you know, that your parents aren't you know, capable of, you know, of the, you know, watching.
They're not capable of
right.
being.
Oh, he knew it. He already knew.
But see, the thing about it is, it's gonna look bad if she doesn't want to go. I've been in a situation as well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She
you
needs
don't
to
really
talk
care.
To him.
Yeah.
We're gonna take her another break. We'll be right back in just a moment. Stay right with us.
Yes, you can dance. You stood right beside me, yeah, and I won't forget, and I really love you, you should know,
We are back. Thanks for coming back with us. Missy, what are you laughing at? What? Yes, you. I'm not sure. Any hootie. So a man carrying a backpack jumped over a fence and got within several steps of the White House before being arrested last Friday. The president was inside at the time. The Secret Service said that the president was not in any immediate danger, but said that the breach was more serious than any other fence jumping incident. He was on the grounds for 16 minutes before they even noticed him. Now that's scary.
Okay, so they're saying it was different from the time when the man jumped the fence.
They saw him right then, and they got him right then.
Oh, really?
But this guy stayed on for 16 minutes before they saw him, before anybody came, and because they saw the when they went back to the tapes, they said, this man was on here, you know, he was on the grounds a long time.
He must have blended in with the folks.
I don't know, but, you know, the president was there at the time. You know, again, I have my issues with Trump, but, you know, he is the president. So, you know, and not just think about Trump, but if it was Hillary, if it was Barack, I would want the Secret Service just needs to do a better job. Yeah. I mean, nobody should just be able to just 16 minutes and you on the, you know, that close to the president of the United States.
And you know what? 16 minutes is really a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time. He could have done a lot in 16 minutes.
Yeah, could have died. Oh, okay.
Yeah. A lot in 16 minutes. So, you know, I don't know. Tanae, you're on. You're on.
Oh, so you know how I'm not necessarily a celebrity whore. But I do like... People can be like celebrity whores. Whores for celebrity. They just want to always know what they're doing,
right,
where they're at. They're just a fanatic. When it could, like, celebrities just...
Fanatic and a whore is the same thing.
Yeah, because I mean, like, you know.
I know what she's saying.
Yeah, they go.
I know what she's saying, too, but she still could have used the...
She could have used a better word than whore.
What is the better word?
Continue tonight.
I think so. Okay, so we all know Miguel.
The R&B singer Miguel.
That jumped over the girl's head.
Yeah. Well, he actually didn't jump. He kicked her in the head.
He kicked her in the head.
You mean the one that kicked her in the head?
And she just asked for $10,000. I said, oh, please.
Really? I thought she asked for $1 million.
She asked for $10,000.
Oh, I bet he gave it to her and kicked her again.
All right, that's not funny.
Is that all? Kick her again? Okay, anyway, go on, Miguel.
Okay, yeah. So, anywho, Miguel, aside from him kicking people in the head, mm-hmm, he's out here grabbing boobies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a
young woman who said that she was a big fan of Miguel.
Okay.
He just loved his music, everything about him.
Okay.
And, you know, Miguel seems like he's a very sweet person.
He does kind of seem like he's, yeah.
Like, I imagine he cried after he kicked that girl in the head. I imagine he went backstage and cried.
Maybe so.
But just to think of, she stated that they took a picture together.
This is the girl that's accusing him of grabbing boobies. Okay.
No, not just one. He had a favorite, just one.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, she said they took a picture together. She was saying, I love your music. And then after the picture, she stated that he grabbed her breast, removed the breast from her shirt, and stared at it.
What?
Now,
okay,
I'm gonna say
okay,
it again.
Okay, now let me ask you this. What was she doing while he was removing her breasts and staring at it? What was she doing?
Oh, well, she didn't tell us what she was doing.
Okay, uh-huh, yeah.
So you mean he put his hand in her bra and took her breasts out? Is that what you're
like,
saying?
Yeah,
you said removed.
Yeah, he removed.
She had on like a bra-like shirt. What was like a bra? It was like a shirt that kind of
showed. A bustier thing?
No, it showed her cleavage.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. This is the shirt. I'm not sure how to describe it. It's kind of like what the girls are wearing now, the ones that have
to. So it's easy to get, yeah.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they were already out.
Partially.
Yeah, partially. But she stated that he disrespected her body.
Okay.
In a public place.
So everybody was around. She's saying that everybody was around, mm-hmm, while she's letting Miguel take her breast out of her shirt, mm-hmm, and stare at it. Yes. I'm still trying to figure out what she was doing.
If he did it
at
quickly, she didn't have time.
Okay,
he said stare like it, and he was in all awe. at her breast. Now, I'm not one for, you know, doubting anyone, saying anyone's lying or telling the truth. You know, you never know. But it just seems strange to me because whenever someone even goes in the direction
exactly
of that, I'm kind of like, hey,
that's what I'm see, yeah,
but
me too.
But then when you're around someone, you're starstruck. You just, you know, you're
maybe.
I just kind of wonder maybe if it happened, and she was like in that moment, like, oh my gosh,
maybe
my
she
gosh.
Didn't know what to do.
Yeah, and then,
she didn't want to make a scene.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then later on, like Keke Palmer did, you know, she went home and thought about it and said, you know what.
I was disrespected.
He disrespected my body.
Who with Keke?
Keke Palmer
Keke
and Trey Songz.
Trey Songz, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So, she's a nice looking girl.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought that Miguel had a girlfriend or a serious.
I thought he
partner.
Did too. Doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. You know that if he had a girlfriend.
You know what? And I don't even see him with a girlfriend. If it is, I feel like it's a front. Because to me, I get the vibe that he's gay.
Really?
Yes. I've always thought that when he first came out and stuff. Mm. Yes,
yeah.
I did. And he probably,
well,
if he had
he's
done
so
that.
Mild-mannered.
No. He probably wanted a pair.
But yeah.
Wait, stop. Hold on. So what you're trying to say is that Miguel wanted her breast, and so he took them out so that he could admire them to see what he was going to get.
Yeah, and like he probably asked her, where did she get them from?
Okay.
You know these young girls now, you know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people, I've been kind of reading on more of the story. A lot of people are kind of questioning why take the social media and not the law enforcement.
Yeah.
And you know what? A lot of people.
Making her famous. How about that?
Well, that would have made her famous too. She still could have went on social media.
But, you know, I don't think it was a lot to report. To
well, but
honest.
Here's the thing though. If it was in front of everyone, shouldn't there be witnesses?
I'm not sure. I wasn't there, and nor am I the boob, so I don't know what he grabbed and took out.
Nor am I the boob.
Yeah. So
well,
I could,
that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
If you're a boob or not. But
whatever.
But that's I don't know.
Maybe she felt like going to social media would better out him than the law enforcement, because you see what happened when he kicked the girl in the head. Where is she now?
Spending her $10,000.
It's probably gone.
Probably so. Yeah, I don't know. And again, I wasn't there either, so I can't really comment on that. But it just kind of seems a little weird that you would stand there and let him put his hand in your shirt and remove your breast.
Well, the top of it was already.
And not.
But you would still have to grab it. I just imagine him grabbing it.
And he would have to have taken it out of the bra.
Yeah, she said that he removed it. He exposed her breast, just one. So he thought about which one he liked.
Yeah.
And he went to grab it.
Wait a minute. He thought about which one he liked.
Mm-hmm.
They want an identical pair?
I don't know. Miguel, he has little small hands.
I don't know. But that's an interesting story.
But you know what? A lot of people are going to social media now about the celebrities and not to the police officers. Because just like how Keke Palmer's saying that, you know, Trey used her image, she could have sued for that. If that's what it was, he's used her in a video that she didn't have no consent to or no consent from.
Well, that doesn't mean that she hasn't filed charges or that she's not going to.
Keke Palmer's
charges.
On social media dancing right now.
She's where?
On social media dancing.
Well, maybe it just wasn't that much of a big deal.
I don't see where she sounded good either.
She can sing. Keke Palmer can sing.
She can't sing. She might she can sing, but she
if
can't sing.
Everyone can sing. It's whether you sound good or not. Because if some people say Sierra can sing.
Sierra can sing.
Sierra sounds like a winded horse.
Your Boonsie can't sing.
Oh, you're crazy.
Who?
Your Boonsie.
She's trying to say Beyonce can sing.
That is not
sing.
My Beyonce. Beyonce does yell.
Beyonce can sing.
She's a yeller.
But she can sing. She really can.
She can't sing.
Okay. Here's another column from the Washington Post, from the News and Observer. And this column is called Miss Manners. and it's sort of like the Ask Amy, but this is, you know, Miss.
I need to get a I need to get Manners. A tell Tanae.
Ooh, I would love to see that.
Yes, tell Tanae all of your problems. Tell me.
Oh, jeez.
Just tell
for
me.
For you to do what? What are you going
to
do?
For me with to tell the, you something back.
Oh, okay. For to have people more messed up than when they wrote in. So, a mother wrote in frantic to this column. She has a 17-year-old daughter who is in a serious relationship, okay? Now, it's always funny to me how teenagers think they're so in love at like 16 and 17 years old.
Yeah.
You don't even know what real love is. You haven't even met half of the people that you will meet in your life at 16 and 17
years
old.
Well, if you live in Middlesex, you already have.
Well, but, you know, you're not going to probably stay in Middlesex, you know. And you'll still meet people coming through Middlesex. So the mother is upset because her family and those that are close to her, when they find out that her daughter is in this, like, serious relationship, they always ask, is she having sex? So she says that it is unacceptable for them to be prying into her daughter's personal life. And she tells them to basically mind their own business. And she's saying that she is open and an honest she's in open and honest communication with her daughter. Okay. And, you know, she's asking about, like, how should she deal with people that, you know, every time they say, you know, she says, you know, she's in a relationship, they say, well, is she having sex? Like, is this rude? Is it just, you know, people, family, friends being concerned or, you know, what?
Well, she's already said basically she needs to tell them to mind their own business. And that's what she needs to tell them. As long as she and her daughter have a, open communication line between the two of them, that's really enough. Number one. Number two, I would want to know how old is that person that she thinks she's so in love with? Mm-hmm. You know, they say that children's minds don't develop until they're 21 years old.
I thought it was 25.
No, they said 21. Read it.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Until they're 21. It's, well, I would hope that it's before 25. But 21, so, and but you know what? The thing about that, this child is saying she's seriously in love with this person and all this stuff like that. Now, let me tell you, when I was 16 years old, I fell in love.
You thought you were in love.
Let me tell you something.
Listen, Linda.
I fell in love with a young man. And I knew that I was in love with him because even when somebody called his name, it didn't even have to be him. Just somebody with the same name, my heart would skip a beat.
And I knew
that I loved him because I loved the way that he treated me. I love, especially the way that he talked to
me. How did he treat you at 16 years old? Like what way was he treating you at 16? Like now later, a pack of now later.
He gave her the colorful lead pencils.
Yeah.
Every now and then he'll get her a cookie from
the cafeteria.
But let me tell you this. I was 16. He was 18.
Why was he still in? Oh,
so that means it was two cookies.
I didn't say I met him in school.
Oh, you didn't meet him in school. It was just okay. Because I was about to say, he was kind of dumb.
A 16, 18-year-old can go to school together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's 10th and 12th grade. Yeah.
I guess. I wasn't 18 in school. But anyway, I don't think a 16-year-old knows anything about love.
Well, I tell you this. I was 16. I have never felt that way about anybody. Out of all the years that I have dated, been married, never felt that way about anybody else, not even my husband.
See, sometimes I think parents can be naive about their children. You know, I know that she's saying that, oh, me and my daughter have open communication, but sometimes some parents can be very naive. And I think that what people are trying to do, maybe they do need to, you know, say it maybe one time and then mind their business. But I think that they want her to be sure, okay, because, you know, it only takes one time for you to come out with a swollen belly. So, you know, and is her daughter really telling her everything? I mean, you know, some children tell their parents what they want them to know.
So okay, and just because she's in this serious relationship, that don't mean they're having
sex. That is true. That is true.
We won't. I was 16 and we won't.
That is true. I don't know. I do think that she needs to tell people, and when it comes up, mind your business. I'm not talking about this. You know, stop asking me this question. You know, about stop asking me this question about my daughter.
Okay, so how did they find out about the daughter if she brought it up to start with?
Well, I'm pretty sure she saw the two together. I'm pretty sure if they've been to the house
whatever. What I really want to say.
I will allow you to say this when we come back. We'll be back in a moment. Stay right with us.
This you can bear. You stood right beside me. I won't forget, and I really love you. You should know. I wanna make sure I'm right, girl, before I let go.
Thanks for coming back with us. Before we went to break, we were talking about this Miss Manners column and the woman who's writing in frantic about what does she say to her family and her friends about, you know, when they say things about her daughter, you know, is she having sex? They want to pry all into her her daughter's business. And she just thinks that it's rude, you know, for them to even ask her anything about her daughter. She thinks you guys need to mind your own business. I got this. I want her to be sure that she has it. Because, again, you know, and there's nothing you can do. Look, 16, 17-year-old, if they're going to have sex, they're going to have sex. And it ain't really nothing you can do about it. I mean, seriously. They can say they're not all they want to, and they could be.
So is that the family and friends' main concern if they're having sex, protected sex?
I think so. I think so. I think they're saying, you know, are you sure, you know, that, you know, which, again, the daughter might not be telling her everything, but, you know.
And might not be having sex.
And they just might not be, absolutely. And, you know, and I think that that's part of her issue is that we tell each other everything. And I think that she would tell me, because there are some parents and children who have that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
You know, that they would actually say, hey, yes, you know.
And the mother might already know the answer to this, whether she's having protected or unprotected sex or not. Her thing is, do she tell the family and her closest friends?
I think she just needs to say, you know, my daughter is careful, whatever, you know, she'll be careful, you know, so you guys don't have, don't worry about it. North Carolina State Representative Kyle Hall, a Republican from King, North Carolina, wherever that is, I don't even know where King, North Carolina is, has introduced legislation that would allow concealed carry permit holders to carry their handguns on UNC system and North Carolina community college campuses. It is House Bill 251. Now, here's what he says. He says that it would make campuses safer by allowing trained firearm holders to carry their weapons. So, like, if there's some type of situation on campus, like a shooter is on campus or something, that the people, you know, instead of, like, waiting for the police, that these people are trained. Because, you know, to get a concealed carry permit, you got to go through classes, you know, to get that. So what he's saying is that they would be trained to help out. Like they could, you know, defuse the situation before the police got there. Well, yeah. So what do you think? Should people be allowed to carry guns on college campuses?
No.
Okay. No, why?
It's bad enough that people who are in school, minds are still developing. A lot of things can influence them. A lot of people, new situations, crowds. On college campuses, a lot of things going on. There's a lot of drinking, drugs on campus. So how do you think that people can have a gun on campus. They can't even keep their grades up. They can't even keep their mind together. They can't even keep a boyfriend or girlfriend.
Okay,
at
but
that time.
But what if it's a professor, not a student?
I don't think they're saying students.
What if it's
a
professor
yeah.
or a worker? You know, somebody who works there.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. The word is concealed. And so,
concealed
who would know?
Right, that
yeah, who would know that you're carrying one?
Mm-hmm. You know, the minute they pop it out on you.
That's okay, and if you're showing
right.
your tail.
Right, right. I mean, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know what? This is another excuse to be shooting people.
See,
these people here, they are finding ways to get these guns.
See,
and stuff.
That's what I say. See, that's my concern. My concern is I think that what you're going to start seeing is that people going around making up threats so they can shoot people.
Or what you're going to see is when the teacher just says, so sit back down. And I'm like, I ain't got to be here. You know, whatever.
I'm going to take out my gun.
Right. You sit down. Sit down and take this test. Test. And then. You know, the student.
Now, that's not life being threatened. Now, you come on now.
You know, with these students jumping on teachers these days.
That's the truth.
Just for a tardy bell.
That's the truth.
Detention.
That's the truth. Yeah. We've done a story about these, you know, everybody have seen, what is it, World Star Hip Hop, where these teachers, these students are jumping on these teachers.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and so. I just think that you're opening up Pandora's box with this. I just think that, and not everybody is going to abuse it, but I think that what you'll start seeing is a lot of people abusing this. Well, I thought he had a knife, or well, I thought I saw them going after somebody they don't like, shooting them. I felt threatened, you know, by this person.
When the person who they feel threatened by is leaving.
Right, has turned around, you know, or not really. I think this is a bad idea.
It is. It is a terrible idea.
I think that if you're going to have officers on campus, then have officers on campus.
That's right.
You know, whose job is it to, you know, keep the peace?
There are officers on each campus, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a safety
I don't know.
Person.
I guess.
Do they have guns? Don't have problems. Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know.
They call them tour policemen.
Right. I mean, you know, a bat and somebody else got a gun. You know, I don't know. I don't know. This is this concerns me. But that's all the time we have for today. As I said before, our hearts go out to the Sledge family for their loss of Joni Sledge. And I would like to honor Sister Sledge by going out today with my favorite Sister Sledge song, He's the Greatest Dancer. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Greatest dancer, oh, what wow that I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. stanza. I walk the wild. The champion of dance, his moves will put you in a trance, and he never leaves the disco alone. Arrogance, but not conceit. As a man, he's complete. My creme de la creme, please take me home. He wears the finest clothes, the best designers, heaven knows. Head down to his toes. Halston, Gucci, Piarucci. He looks like a steal. That man is dressed to kill.
Oh, what the wow. He's the greatest dancer.
Greatest dancer.